He does confirm that word. And albeit I may have asked Stephen to sing a particular song, which he did, and the band blessed us with. Actually, Godfrey Birtle last night, he mentioned fire in my belly. And I've been hearing fire all morning, not just from a song, but from other people. God has set a fire in our souls. It's uncontainable. It's uncontrollable. That means we've got to let it out. And Pete, bless him, I'm sure I haven't spoken to Pete about this whatsoever. I can say that honestly in front of the Lord. So Joshua 14, we're going to go from verses 6 to 15. You'll understand my cryptic wording. Oh, would help if I was in the right place. I mean, Judges. So now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old." That's so young, isn't it? "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." That's the conviction of a man in the Word of God, I believe. "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joseph blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. There is a title, and it's, what is it that glorifies God? The Word of God, I believe with all my heart, is the essence of life. The Word of God is the essence of life. Those words that we were singing this morning, those are words that we need to be grabbing hold of. Yes, we glorify God with those words. They help us come into his presence because we're acknowledging how great is our God. He's the creator of a known universe and all that's in it. He's the creator of the unknown universe, but he certainly knows it. He created it, and it's still being created. And he did it by his word. His word is the essence of life. Grab hold of his word and we will have life. And we will have that life to the fullest. So we just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, lift up your word back up to you. And I ask that you would honor your word, that you would breathe upon your word, that your word would come to life in our hearts, that it would manifest itself in a way that transforms us from the inside out. That we would be able to go out and bless the lost with the good news of the gospel. For it is good news, it is our joy, a hope of salvation. Amen. Just want to recall that Caleb was one of 12 spies that Moses sent out to explore the land of Canaan prior to the conquest. Now, 10 came back with a negative report, but 2, Caleb and Joshua, returned with a positive report. That's in Numbers 13 and 14. So what kind of man was Caleb? If my title is, what is it that glorifies God? Think about Caleb. What was different about Caleb? He was a man of conviction. A loose definition is beliefs. He believed the word of God. Opinions. His opinions were formed by the word of God. Principles. He placed his principles in God. Persuasions. He was persuaded by what God said about conquering a land that had fortified cities, giants, and who knows what else. But what was he looking at? Was he looking at the world with physical eyes? Was he looking at what the Word of God said to him? What the Word of God had expressed to him? Instead of taking hold of what his physical eyes see, because that's just, you know, that's part of our life. That's a very big part of our life. He took hold of what he couldn't see, and that is what God spoke to him. And that's what I want us to be able to do with this word. This word, we need to grab hold of it. We need to acknowledge that this word makes a difference in our lives. Just as Jesus Christ made a difference in our lives, and he still does. They say that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you have to remember that Jesus Christ is God. So what was it that died on the cross? It was a physical body. Because when death came face to face with Jesus Christ in all his glory, he was very much alive, and death could not handle him. Death could not hold him. Death had no authority over Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. The creator of all things has supremacy over what it is that he created, so that there is order, so that there is an expression of love, of intent, of purpose. We've already heard this morning, God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for our lives. So when Christ met death, he took back authority that man had given death with Adam and Eve. When Adam disobeyed the word of God, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the word of God. In utter obedience, he died on that cross. He is the resurrection. He is the way. He is the only way to God. It's a simple way. He made it easy. It's not an arrogant way. It's the truth. And the truth has set us free. So what is it that made Caleb different? He was also known as a man of courage. For Caleb said, I follow the Lord wholeheartedly. That's what God is asking for us today, you know. He wants us to follow him wholeheartedly. And what is it he's saying when we follow him wholeheartedly? That we will have life and live that life to the fullest. That's how we can glorify God. When we're living life to the fullest, that means we have the Lord's joy, which is our strength. We have abundant life. The word is life. That means that there's no death, there's no fear, as we've been singing, you know, I am a child of God. God is good news. Jesus Christ is good news. And when we follow him wholeheartedly, Caleb is a very good example. He was able to say at 85 years, 45 years had passed, because of unbelief of a majority, they wandered around in the wilderness, and he retained that word. He retained that vision. He kept hold of that. So at 85 years old, he was able to say, I'm still as strong, as vigorous as the day the Lord God first made that promise. Because God's word is eternal. God's word is everlasting. It doesn't change. But it will accomplish its purpose. And Caleb understood that. It is. Caleb, in a sense, gave his own testimony. But then Moses backed that testimony up by repeating what Caleb said. And then God confirmed that by repeating what Caleb said. Caleb is a man who was committed. And this is where I want to help make a connection, in a sense that Caleb was a man of the old covenant, whereas we are a people of a new covenant. That means we've been given a new spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we walk with God in obedience through the Holy Spirit. So what was Caleb's commitment? It said that he was committed because he had a different spirit. He believed the word, as simple as that. His spirit inside him said, yes, I accept, I receive what God has promised me, and I'm going to go for that. He was a man of vision. God had promised the people that they were going to enter a promised land. I mean, you know, the clue is in the wording, in a sense, isn't it? You know, it's a promised land. It's promised. But only two people grabbed hold of the vision. Caleb was one of them. And he took hold of that. He took hold of that and he made it his own. And that's the connection I want to make for us. We have a glorious promise. It's an eternal promise of redemption, of freedom, of peace. And these are all things that we can express to the needy, to the lost, to those who have yet to hear the good news. But we have to take hold of it. We have to believe it to express it. You can only express something that you believe in. We can only ever express something we believe in. Does that mean that I've been out there and done it loads of times? No. It means that I need to try harder. It means that I need to be more confident of who I am in Christ Jesus. So his vision comes from God. He's also a man of faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from God. The moment we believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for us, God gives us faith to carry on. because it's his words we've received that allowed us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for us. He's a man of encouragement. And where does his encouragement come from? His encouragement comes from knowing who he is. And he was definitely a son of God. And God had said to the people, we can take this land. This land is already yours. He encouraged the people, but God had given judgment. So when we encourage people, we need to be in agreement as a body of people, if we want to move as a body of people. I think Peter expressed it a while back. It's like you look at yourself as a tsunami. A tsunami is just one continuous wave. That's where we need to be as a body of people of Christ. We need to be moving in unity. We need to be moving in the expression of love, of grace, of mercy. That means we've got to get on with each other. We've got to be in agreement with each other. Because God is love. God is love, and his love is life. And that's what dwells in us. That's what we need to be expressing even. Caleb was a man of loyalty. He was loyal to the word that he heard. He was also a man of war. And we are called to be loyal, and we are also called to be at war. Not with each other, but with the enemy. And who is the enemy? That's the devil. And in a sense, at war with the devil, Jesus Christ won the victory. He has already won the battle. So all we're doing is being faithful to God, standing firm, and extending the boundaries of his kingdom, because his kingdom has already been set in place. The enemy has no power or authority over a son or daughter of God. None whatsoever. Only that which we allow him to have. As children of God, we still have a choice. We still have a choice to be motivated, inspired by the Holy Spirit within us, or we can allow the circumstances, like the ten did, that they could see with their physical eyes, to be what they made their decisions on. That's as easy as our reality needs to be. We are for God, and he is definitely for us. He will never fail us. We've sung that. He will never let us down. He will never leave us. In Romans 8, verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, is in communion with God the Father. He is our connection. And then he inspires us. He guides us. He leads us. But he's the perfect gentleman. He will only do that if we allow him to do that. Anger does not allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Fear does not allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because a guide is not a controller. A guide does exactly what it says. I guide you. I do not control you. Yes, we want to be in full submission to the Holy Spirit. But that means we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. What is the issue in a sense? The Holy Spirit has the best intentions upon this planet. No man can outdo the intentions of the Holy Spirit. So if we're walking with the Holy Spirit, we're walking in the presence of God, because we're in agreement with what his intentions are. Verse 6 of Romans 8. The mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. In verses 7 to 8, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. We have been cut off and set free from living life in the flesh. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." He took up our infirmities and our illnesses, and he redeemed us. He paid the price. He paid it that once, and that once was enough in God's eyes. The moment we give our lives to God, we are set free from the old way we used to live. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh. Sorry, that's verse 12 of Romans 8. Verse 13. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body, we will live. Jesus Christ said, this is where our thoughts need to be. Jesus Christ said, if you even think about committing adultery, you've committed adultery. So we need to make sure that we are in control of our minds through the Holy Spirit. It is great that we can come before the Lord and ask for repentance. But wouldn't you much rather live a life of freedom? Occasionally in a moment, yes, we can stumble, we can fall, but we just pick ourselves back up, and under the grace of God, we can live life to the fullest. But let's purposely set out to live life to the fullest. Sometimes in the passion of trying to do right for God, yeah, we can stumble and fall. But God is a God who loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Acknowledge our own failings, and he will carry us on. Jesus Christ himself said, "I can do nothing on my own," whilst he walked on this earth. Jesus Christ, who is God, made that statement. John 5:19. What does this mean for us? That means that Jesus Christ said that he wanted to be obedient to what he saw his Father doing. That was his focus. To be obedient to his word. So how can we do this? Walk with the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit enables us. So how is it? No, it's not there. How is it that we today can glorify God? I was going to share something. We are committed. We are committed to God. He gave his Son for us. He's asking us to do the same. He wants us to be people of vision. And he wants us to do that through faith, the faith which he gives us. That means we can be an encouragement to each other. We can be loyal to our God. And when we make war, we're making war in the right place by pulling down the principalities of the devil. As we build each other up, as we stand firm and know that we are children of God. If there is anyone here who can't relate to that, Maybe it's because you've not necessarily given your life to the Lord. When the Lord says, come, come and I will bless you. I will give you new life, new wine. I will set you free. I will bring restoration. If that's you today, then please come forward and ask for prayer. God has set a fire in our souls, and that's a good fire. It's a fire that consumes. He's already consumed us with his love. So what's this fire? It's uncontainable, it's uncontrollable. I'm going to end with Matthew 28. Something that David was pursuing last Sunday. And we seem to have heard a fair bit about already this morning, but not necessarily through me. In verse 18, so this is for us believers. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority. None has been missed out. None has been set aside. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's what it is to glorify God. Let's just bow our heads. Could the band please come up? And I'll say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit these words to you, Lord. And we ask that they would be a fire in our hearts, in our souls. Help us to glorify you with our words, with our actions. And we do that because they become your words, because we'll have taken hold of your words and made them ours. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.